Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This week's podcast, dated Wednesday the 7th of February, is read to you by volunteers Alan, Corey, Hunter, Ian and Rebecca.
Welcome for Vape Ban Plan. An MSP who had previously highlighted the risk of vaping for young people has welcomed new legislation. Rona Mackay, SNP MSP for Strathkelvin and Bearsden, raised concerns over the upsurge in young people vaping during a debate at Holyrood in January last year. Now Scottish ministers have agreed to take forward a proposal to implement a ban on single-use vapes. This follows extensive consultation on creating a smoke-free generation and tackling youth vaping, which ran across Scotland, England, Wales and Northern Ireland last year. Over 82% of Scots supported the restrictions on single-use vapes compared to 79% UK-wide, while 73.4% favoured an outright ban as opposed to 68.1% UK-wide. As well as implementing a ban on single-use vapes, other measures agreed include restrictions on vape flavours and promotion, as well as changing age limits for buying tobacco. Over 8,000 people die in Scotland every year from smoking-related diseases. And while vapes are seen by some health professionals as a useful tool for helping adults quit, there are mounting concerns about the rapid rise of vaping among children. Ms Mackay said, "There has been an alarming rise in the number of children taking up the habit. Some as young as 7 have been found with vapes at school. Fruit-flavoured vapes in bright so-called cool packaging designed to get youngsters hooked." Read by Alan Todd.
Boost for planned new hub, as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. Plans for the new Waterside Community Hub received a boost with the delivery of new office equipment. Waterside Miners Charitable Society, WMCS, received the equipment funded by East Dunbartonshire Council's Community Grant Scheme. The new tech has been put to good use as the team is busy applying for funding to demolish the derelict Waterside Miners Club on Old Duntively Road and replace it with the new hub. WMCS aims to raise around £2 million for the project and donations are welcome.
This Week in History, read by me, Ian. February the 8th, 1931, James Dean, cult actor, was born in Marion, Indiana. He made just 3 films, East of Eden, Rebel Without a Cause and Giant, before he died in a car smash. On this day last year, a new award for non-fiction books by women was launched by the charity behind the Women's Prize for Fiction. February the 9th, 1855, the Devil's Footprints appeared in snowbound South Devon. 100 miles of cloven hoofprints, 8 inches apart in a single line and measuring 4 inches by 2. On this day last year, the Duke and Duchess of Cornwall, William and Kate, made their first joint official visit to Falmouth since taking on their new roles. February the 10th, 1962. In Berlin, US spy plane pilot Gary Powers, shot down by the Russians, was exchanged for KGB agent Rudolf Abel, captured in New York 5 years earlier. February 11th, 1990, South Africa's black nationalist leader Nelson Mandela was freed from prison after 27 years. On this day last year, A piece of artwork by tinting creator Ayres set a world record for the most valuable original black and white drawing by the artist after selling it at auction for more than €2 million. February 12, 1924, Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin was first performed in New York.
Council to be a partner. Part of a housing development at the site of the former Lindsay Primary School is to be incorporated within Eastern Bartonshire Council's Shared Equity Housing for Sale programme, following previous attempts to sell the housing. The site was sold to Vaga Developments in 2019, and although the housing was complete, it was agreed that it would include 5 two-bedroom properties intended for the social housing sector, with Build Housing and Care owning 1/4 of these homes and a new buyer taking on the other 75%. Similar arrangements have been successful in other areas, such as at the former Lindsay Hospital location, but efforts to find a buyer for these properties proved unsuccessful, causing Build to withdraw from the arrangement. Vaga then approached the council to find an alternative partner, with discussions held with various social landlords, but none have proven fruitful due to issues with the design of the flats, property values and maintenance costs. Council officers therefore proposed that the council take on a 25% stake in these properties, requiring changes to the existing shared equity scheme. At a recent meeting, councillors decided whether to proceed with the plan. At the meeting, Provost Gillian Rennick said she was surprised the developer had been unable to make affordable element of the housing development work, but she was also aware of issues that would need to be addressed, such as the withdrawal of the factor, external issues such as an unfinished play area, and problems with electrics and fire alarms. The Provost was advised that council officers were aware of issues, but the arrangement would depend on satisfactory due diligence procedures being followed, including ensuring adequate factoring and that the developer's obligations are met. Provost Renwick said that as the council factored other buildings, it could potentially be assumed that it would do so in this case, so formal arrangements would need to be made. It was clarified that the majority owner would be responsible for such issues. Read by Rebecca.
Climate training. People who live or work in Eastern Bartonshire can attend free training to learn what the climate emergency means for local communities and find out how they can take positive action. Taking place in February and March, the training is designed for people who are involved with community organisations or Eastern Bartonshire communities. The training will help them to cut through jargon and gain a clear understanding of terms like net zero, global warming, climate change and carbon footprint. Participants who complete the training will have the opportunity to be certified as carbon literate after gaining knowledge of the carbon costs and impacts of activities. Details on training dates, locations and how to register is available on Keep Scotland Beautiful's Eventbrite. Public urge to take vaccine. With 2 cases of laboratory confirmed measles since October 2023, Public Health Scotland PHS is encouraging the public to take up the offer of the measles, mumps and rubella MMR vaccine. Anyone who hasn't had 2 doses of the free MMR vaccine, as well as parents and carers of children who have missed a dose, is encouraged to visit the NHS Inform website to find out how to arrange an appointment in their local health board area. Uptake of MMR has declined across all UK nations in recent years, and there remains a risk of infection in those who are not vaccinated or not fully vaccinated for their age. Having 2 doses of the MMR vaccine is the best way to be fully protected against measles. Measles can be a very serious condition, causing pneumonia and encephalitis, inflammation of the brain, and can affect people of any age if they have not been vaccinated. The MMR vaccine protects against measles, with the first dose offered to children between 12 to 13 months and the second dose offered at 3 years, 4 months. If it's missed at these times, it can be given any age. Dr. Sam Chebrahuit, head of vaccination and immunisation, PHS, said, as measles cases continue to increase across other parts of the UK and Europe, we're working with health boards to ensure that as many people as possible are fully vaccinated with the MMR vaccine. Two doses are needed to give full protection. Details of how to check you and your child is fully protected can be found on MMR Against Measles NHS in forum.
Appeal following serious assault in Cawdor. Police are appealing for information after a man was seriously assaulted in Cawdor, Glasgow, on Friday, January 26th. Around 3 p.m, a disturbance took place on Herne Street, which resulted in an 18-year-old man being injured. He was treated at Glasgow Royal Infirmary and has since been discharged. Detective Constable Kevin Ford, Maryhill CID, said, from our inquiries so far, we know that there has been an initial disturbance in the street near the local primary school involving the 18-year-old man, who was driving a car at the time, and one other man. A further incident has then taken place again in Herma Street, involving the same two men and one other man. The two men attacked the 18-year-old in the garden of a house before one drove off in a silver-grey Jeep-type car and the other walked away. This assault didn't involve any pupil at the school. There were a lot of people in the area at the time picking up children, and I am sure someone there would have witnessed what happened. Officers have been checking CCTV and carrying out door-to-door inquiries since the attack, but would appeal to anyone not yet spoken to by police to come forward. The suspects are described as white, approximately 35 years old, 6 feet in height, has short blondish hair, and was wearing an all-blue tracksuit. White, approximately 50 years old, 5 foot 11 in height, with grey hair and balding. He was wearing a red jacket. Information can be passed to officers via 101.
Extra funding is required. Eastern Bartonshire Council is to highlight the need for additional funds from the Scottish Government if its planned reform of heating and buildings is to succeed. At a recent meeting, members of all parties supported a proposal from Councillor Alan Moyer, Labour, Bishopbriggs South, to emphasise that more money would be required to deliver on the proposals contained in the Net Zero for Scotland's buildings consultation. The Scottish Government is currently consulting all local authorities on proposals for a new heating strategy, which encompasses public buildings as well as homes. It is looking at introducing new legislation which would require councils to produce their own local strategy documents concerning heat networks and ban direct emission heat systems by April. Councillor Moyer proposed an existing sector of the council's response, which explains that EDC supports the government's ambitions in principle. This would have to be accompanied by significant new support in terms of financial backing and resources. As councillors discussed the consultation response, it was also disclosed that only around 1/3 of 1% of Eastern Bartonshire households currently have heat pumps installed, at least 50 of which were fitted in 2023. This ranks Eastern Bartonshire 23rd of the 32 Scottish local authority areas. Councillor Susan Murray, Liberal Democrat, Kirkintilloch North and East and Tweker, expressed concern over an indication in the consultation response that the council strongly supported imposing minimum energy efficiency standards on private sector landlords, as she felt this could potentially result in fewer properties being available in that sector. She was advised that the council's position was driven by the goal of reducing fuel poverty, but that additional text could be included in the response to the highlight that the private rental sector faces particularly demanding targets due to tighter schedules and average costs to convert a house to clean heating at around £14,000.
Cannabis seizures. Police Scotland has seized cannabis plants worth a combined total of over £8.5 million since the start of 2024, sending a clear message to criminals that drugs have no place in any of our communities. In January alone so far, officers have intercepted various quantities of the Class B drug with an estimated street value of £8,624,000. This month's activity took place right across Scotland, including 2 7-figure seizures with cannabis worth £3.6 million recovered in Greenock and a further quantity worth £2.25 million recovered in Dundee. There were also significant recoveries in Dumfries, Ayrshire, Glasgow, Lanarkshire, Aberdeen, Inverness and Shetland. Arrests have been made in relation to the majority of the seizures and inquiries are ongoing into the remaining incidents. Detective Superintendent Craig Wilson from Police Scotland's Organised Crime and Counter-Terrorism Unit said, "This year we have already seen some very significant recoveries across the country, which demonstrates that no community is safe from the harm caused by illegal drugs. Police Scotland remains committed to the Serious Organised Crime Task Force and the country's Serious and Organised Crime Strategy, and our officers are determined to protect members of the public from this type of criminality. Anyone who brings drugs into our communities for their own illicit gain should be in absolutely no doubt that we will rigorously pursue every means possible to disrupt this activity. We will find you and bring you to justice. Information and support from members of the public is vital to our work, and I would encourage anyone with concerns about drug activity in their area to contact Police Scotland on 101. Alternatively, you can speak to Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111.
Good news for eateries. New food hygiene ratings have been awarded to 4 of Eastern Barton's establishments, the Food Standards Agency's website shows. Passing the high standards were Mahoney Steakhouse at 181 to 183 Kirkintilloch Road and Walks Cuisine at 72 Townhead, Kirkintilloch. There were also passes for Domino's Pizza at 94 Kirkintilloch Road, Bishop Riggs, and Happy House at 131 Mulgay Road, Bears Den. And Greg's PLC of Douglas Street, Mulgay, also got a pass rating after assessment in December. However, the new Walk Cuisine at Unit 3, 160 Auchinairn Road, Bishop Riggs, was given an improvement required rating following its inspection. Improvement was also requested at Bayleaf Bistro, a takeaway at 3 Rannoch Drive, Bears Den, and at Woodhill Chinese, a takeaway at 20 Woodhill Road, Bishop Riggs. Further inspections can be viewed on the Food Standards Agency website.
MSP welcomes latest moves on disposable vapes. A local MSP who warned of the risk disposable vapes pose to young people has welcomed the news that the Scottish Government is making moves towards protecting children. Rona Mackay, SNP MSP for Strathkelvin and Bears Den, was praised last year by leading health charities ASH Scotland and Asthma and Lung UK Scotland for highlighting concerns over the upsurge in young people vaping during a debate at Holyrood in January 2023. Now, powers devolved to the Scottish Parliament will be used to implement a ban on single-use vapes. Ministers have agreed to take forward the recommendations following a consultation on creating a smoke-free generation and tackling youth vaping, which ran across Scotland, England, Wales and Northern Ireland last year. In Scotland, 82.3% supported restrictions on single-use vapes, 79.3% UK-wide, and 73.4% favoured an outright ban, 68.1% UK-wide. As well as implementing a ban on single-use vapes, other measures agreed include restrictions on vape flavours and promotion, as well as changing age limits for buying tobacco. Smoking is responsible for more than 8,000 deaths a year in Scotland, and vapes are seen by many health professionals as a useful tool for adults quitting smoking. But there have been mounting concerns about the rapid rise of vaping among children, many of whom might never consider smoking. Ms Mackay, who last year also joined the two health charities in calling on the Scottish Government to act swiftly to reduce the visibility of e-cigarettes in supermarkets and shops, likened the youth vaping problem to the aggressive marketing for Alcopops in the 1990s. She said, "There has been an alarming rise in the number of children taking up the habit. Some as young as 7 have been found with vapes at school. Fruit-flavoured vapes in bright, so-called cool packaging designed to get youngsters hooked. Does that remind you of anything? Alcopops, perhaps?" She added, "Doctors have warned of the long-term damage to developing lungs. I was shocked to discover products, including watches and pens, designed to help youths to vape undetected by parents or teachers."
House prices drop. House prices dropped slightly by 0.4% in Eastern Bartonshire in November, new figures show. But the drop does not reverse the longer-term trend, which has seen property prices in the area grow by 0.5% over the last year. The average Eastern Bartonshire house price in November was £273,184, Land Registry figures show, a 0.4% decrease on October. Over the month, the picture was different to that across Scotland, where prices increased 1.1% and Eastern Bartonshire was above the 0.8% drop for the UK as a whole. Over the last year, the average sale price of property in Eastern Bartonshire rose by 1,300, putting the area 19th among Scotland's 32 local authorities with price data for annual growth. The highest annual growth in the region was Elanen Sear, where property prices increased on average by 10.5% to £175,000. At the other end of the scale, properties in the Orkney Isles lost 12.4% of their value, giving an average price of £189,000. First-time buyers in Eastern Bartonshire spent an average of £200,680 on their property, £340 less than a year ago, but £42,690 more than November 2018. By comparison, former owner-occupiers paid £327,180 on average in November, 63% more than first-time buyers. Owners of terraced houses saw the biggest fall in property prices in Eastern Bartonshire in November. They dropped by 0.7% in price to £205,399 on average. Over the last year, prices dropped by 0.1%. Among other types of property, detached down 0.1% monthly, up 2.1% annually, £498,049 average. Semi-detached, down 0.4% monthly, down 0.1% annually, £284,798 average. Flats, down 0.5% monthly, up 0% annually, £143,934 average. How do property prices in Eastern Bartonshire compare? Buyers paid 40.8% more than the average price in Scotland, £194,000, in November for a property in Eastern Bartonshire. Across Scotland, property prices are low compared to those across the UK, where the average cost is £285,000.
ILF event will shape future. The Independent Living Fund, ILF Scotland, is inviting disabled people, disabled people's organisations and other interested stakeholders in Eastern Bartonshire to help shape the reopened fund. An event will take place at the Glasgow Science Centre on Monday, February the 19th, where attendees can share their views and have their say. Established in 2015, ILF Scotland was set up to continue to provide funding and support to help disabled people in Scotland and Northern Ireland live independently. The ILF has not been open to new applications since 2010, but in September 2023, the First Minister announced that ILF will reopen on a phased basis in 2024-25. Peter Scott, OBE, Chief Executive Officer at ILF Scotland, said, "It is important for us to ensure the success of the reopened ILF, and these events are a key part of the process to allow people to have their say. The Glasgow event is our final in-person event, so we'd urge anyone who is interested to attend so we can take account of all views, ideas and feedback."
Scottish Charity Awards. Nominations are now open. Report by Julie Curry. The Scottish Council for Voluntary Organisations, SCVO, is calling for voluntary groups and individuals across the country to apply for its annual Scottish Charity Awards. Now in their 18th year, the Scottish Charity Awards are designed to celebrate the best of the voluntary sector and to highlight the incredible organisations, inspiring people and innovative projects that have made an immeasurable difference to the communities they support over the past year. Applications are now being accepted for 2024, with SCVO placing particular importance on hearing from voluntary organisations and individuals that reflect the diversity of this essential sector. All registered charities, social enterprises, campaigning groups, community interest companies and people who work/volunteer in these spaces are eligible to enter. The SCVO has also tried to make the awards simpler and more accessible this year to as many people and organisations as possible, with a number of improvements to the application and judging process. This includes the introduction of a new Small Charity of the Year award in recognition of charities with a turnover of £500,000 and below. The award categories are Charity of the Year, Small Charity of the Year, Trustee of the Year, Volunteer of the Year, Employee of the Year, Partnership of the Year, Campaign of the Year, Community Impact, Climate Impact and Digital Difference. Winners will be decided by a panel of judges. All finalists will also be entered into the running for the People's Choice Award, giving members of the public a chance to vote for their favourite finalist. SCVO received an overwhelming response last year with hundreds of applications and over 14,000 votes cast for the People's Choice Award, and hopes that even more organisations will be inspired to apply this year. The award ceremony, hosted by Sally Magnuson, will be held in Glasgow on June the 20th. Anna Fowley, SCVO Chief Executive, said, "In these stormy times, it's great to have something to look forward to. The Scottish Charity Awards always light up our calendars and remind us of the invaluable, inspiring work voluntary organisations across the country are doing every day. Being shortlisted for an award spotlights your story and celebrates the massive contribution of people and organisations to our communities and our country. Every year, I'm blown away by the diversity, dedication, expertise and passion that runs through every part of our sector, and I'm sure 2024 will be no different. Maybe even better. Prove me right and enter or nominate for this year's awards." Applications are open until 12 p.m. on Friday, March 15th, and can be completed on the SCVO website at scvo.scot/scottish-charity-awards/apply. Charity members. The Scottish Council for Voluntary Organisations is a national membership organisation for the voluntary sector. Its mission is to support, promote and develop a confident, sustainable voluntary sector in communities across Scotland. The SCVO is passionate about what the voluntary sector can achieve. Along with its community of more than 3,000 members and supporters, it believes that charities, social enterprises and voluntary groups make Scotland a better place. For more information, visit www.scvo.scot. And don't forget to nominate your charity by 12 p.m. on Friday, March the 15th, at scvo.scot/scottish-charity-awards/apply. Record fall in gas use with call for support. As energy prices and the cost of living soared, 2022 saw a record fall in the amount of gas people in Eastern Bartonshire used to fuel their homes, new figures show. Campaign group National Energy Action said households may be reducing their energy use to dangerously low levels and called on the government to provide more support to the most vulnerable. Department for Energy Security and Net Zero figures show Eastern Bartonshire residents used 653 gigawatt hours of gas in 2022. This was a 13.2% fall in the year before, the largest decrease in domestic gas usage since comparable records began in 2006. Nationally, domestic gas use fell by 12.7% in 2022, also the highest decline in 16 years, which the Department for Energy Security and Net Zero's report said is likely related to elevated energy prices as well as the generally high cost of living. Peter Smith, Director of Policy at National Energy Action, said the record fall is very striking. He said some of the fall could be due to people reducing needless energy use, but warned it is likely many of the 6.5 million households in the UK are having to cut their energy consumption to dangerously low levels. Mr. Smith added, "We are continuing to call on the UK government to provide more support to protect the most vulnerable people. We know millions of people are no longer getting the support they need to offset the worst ongoing impact of this energy crisis." Domestic electricity use also saw a record fall nationally, with the amount used in 2022 down by 8.2% in the previous year. In Eastern Bartonshire, 153 gigawatt hours of electricity was used by residents to power their homes. This was down 10% in 2021, and also a record fall since comparable figures began in 2006. The DESNZ said it recognises the cost of living challenge families are facing and is providing £104 billion of support with bills. A spokesperson added, "Thanks to our Warm House discount, 3 million low-income households are expected to benefit from the £150 targeted support this winter. Our energy price guarantee remains in place to protect people until April this year, and we are continuing to help the most vulnerable."
Learn a language thanks to your EDLC libraries. What's your goal for 2024? Are you hoping to be fluent in French, great at Gaelic, or smashing at Swedish? Whatever language you fancy learning, your first move should be to check out your local library. EDLC libraries across the area are now offering transparent language online for libraries, a complete language learning system with courses and lessons designed to build listening, speaking, reading and writing skills. It is free, flexible, convenient and offers more than 100 languages, from Afrikaans to Zulu, with everything in between, including Ukrainian. Learners can explore a new language in the comfort of their own home, at the library, or on the go. This online service works on virtually any computer or mobile device through a web browser or mobile app, so anyone can use it. Councillor Jim Gibbons, Chair of Eastern Bartonshire Leisure and Culture Trust, said, "This new resource offers so much to so many people within our communities. It will help people for whom English is not their first language, and support anyone who'd like to broaden their skill set to include a new language. It is an online resource which enables learners to go at their own speed, and it is free. What better time to have a go at learning something new? This is a reminder that libraries are not just about books. Our staff can help in so many other ways, and this is just one of them. Using the library card, EDLC library members will have unlimited access to more than 110 languages, including English for speakers of over 30 languages. Transparent Language Online for Libraries is packed with pronunciation practice, speech analysis, grammar, writing activities, and vocabulary building activities. Transparent Language leverages its expertise in technology, learning, and language to build innovative language learning and teaching software for use by US government agencies and organisations, as well as hundreds of public libraries, thousands of schools, and millions of individuals. It cares about all languages, regardless of commercial value, and believes that great language technology not only changes the user experience, it transforms the economics, logistics, and reliability of language learning.
Family announcements. Deaths. Young. Margaret Baxter. Margaret, aged 103, passed away peacefully on January 25th, 2024, at Stob Hill Care Home. Beloved sister of the late John Young and Jean Howden, adored by all her family and friends, the funeral service will take place at Glasgow Crematorium on Tuesday, February 13th, 2024, at 12:45 p.m., to which all family and friends are welcome. Family flowers only, please. If wished, donations may be made to the RNIB in Margaret's memory.
Body-worn camera set to triple on our railways. Railway plan to more than triple its number of body-worn cameras in a bid to tackle antisocial behaviour. The train operator will roll out more than 1,000 new body cameras by the end of this month, replacing its existing suite of 350 body cameras, while increasing the number of units available to frontline staff. Introduction of the new devices is part of a £1.6 million investment to tackle antisocial behaviour on Scotland's railway. ScotRail first introduced body-worn cameras in 2017 following a successful trial. During the trial, the train operator found that customers positively changed their behaviour when they were informed that they were being recorded. Since then, body cameras have proven to be invaluable in providing evidence on incidents such as assaults on staff, with successful prosecutions resulting from their use. Other initiatives include increasing the number of frontline staff, particularly on late-night trains on key routes, and the recent expansion of the train operator's travel safe team. Initially introduced in October 2021, before expanding in autumn 2022, the team worked closely with British Transport Police to support customers and colleagues, both on train and in stations. The team was designed to be a reactive resource with the ability to quickly focus on emerging hotspots. They actively engage and educate individuals and groups on the impact of unsafe behaviours. Since its introduction, ScotRail has seen a drop in reported events during and after antisocial behaviour exercises. David Lister, ScotRail's safety director, said, "Body-worn cameras play an important role in deterring criminal behaviour and supporting potential prosecutions. By increasing the number of units available to our people, it means that anyone who wants to use a body camera has the option to do so. Safety is our top priority, and together with our travel safe team, these cameras play a crucial role in ensuring a secure work environment for our customers and colleagues." Jim Gray, RMT ScotRail coordinator, added, "The RMT union fully support the use of body-worn cameras to tackle antisocial behaviour."
Kirkandalloch and Bishopriggs Heralds Letters page. Let's talk. Published Wednesday the 7th of February 2024. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Please refer to workers as people, not resources. Sir, in her statement to the Scottish Police Authority, Chief Constable Joe Farrell said the service was seeking voluntary redundancies from civilian staff, but not from the control centres because there were areas of high risk and we need those resources. What was wrong with saying we need those people? Referring to people as resources is demeaning. It's disrespectful and counterproductive. If organisations believe people are their greatest asset, then treat them like they are and their greatest asset. Treating them well without indulging them will produce a motivated, productive organisation and better outcomes than if they are treated like resources, to be used or discarded at will. Yours, etc., Brian Barber, by email. Kate Forbes impresses at COVID inquiry. Sir, having watched the confident and palpably truthful Kate Forbes answering questions at the COVID inquiry, once again I find it beyond comprehension that this young woman, whose social views align with the majority of Scots of every political shade infinitely more than they do with the present First Minister, was rejected by the SNP members, who chose Humza Yousaf as their leader in preference. Her husband's alleged political allegiance is of no consequence whatsoever, except to the extremists in her party. There is a distinct impression from what we have heard and seen that Ms. Forbes was kicked out of the SNP's inner circle because of her intrinsic honesty. Not that I am complaining about her rejection. I am enjoying watching the SNP flounder from crisis to crisis and approach an electoral Armageddon. Yours, etc., Alexander Mackay, address supplied. Oh, if only we could return to square one. Sir, Rishi Sunak is forever banging on about his plan, whatever that is, while telling us a Labour government will take us back to square one. Square one is presumably when his party took over from Labour in 2010. How were things back at square one? The NHS doing well, low waiting lists? No striking doctors? National debt low? Inflation 2%? No boat people? Tax allowances rising? No striking rail workers? No striking teachers? 6 days a week post not under threat? Seamless trade and travel throughout Europe? Obama president? Let's go back to square one. Yours, etc., Barry Tai, by email. How about some hard COVID info? Sir, we are at present suffering through the UK COVID inquiry, while by all accounts several strains of the disease are still running rampant throughout the country. The public don't know this, of course, because no one is on TV daily to tell us, and what we need to do is to stay safe and protect the vulnerable. In fact, the very basis of the COVID inquiry should be to investigate how well we were prepared to cope with the onset of a killer virus, the benefits of the various actions taken and advice given, so that we can be prepared for a similar event in the future. No doubt there are large numbers of the public titillated by the shortcomings of our leaders showing up with these giving evidence. A further large number are aghast at the failure of the inquiry to focus on what should be its main purpose, information. I still don't know for certain whether the virus is spread through air droplets from coughing, by physical contact with an individual currently infected, or by contact with a surface, for example a door handle that carries infection due to the poor hygiene of others, or indeed all of these. Is the inquiry going to delve into this, or do we assume that the actions advised, such as stay at home, avoid meeting large numbers, etc., were the correct actions and they kept us all safe? Patently, the number of deaths and subsequent spikes in cancer and other illnesses requiring hospitalisation, let alone the negative impact on the economy, suggest these actions were not sensible for the country as a whole or the public. So, where do we go from here? The present inquiry suggests we will muddle through as we always do. Yours, etc., E. Lewis, address supplied.
Bully owners must prepare. New XL bully dog safeguards are being introduced in Scotland and owners are being urged to prepare for changes. The first of a two-stage approach to new legal safeguards on XL bully dogs will come into force on February 23rd, subject to parliamentary approval. From this date, it will remain legal to own an XL bully dog, but owners must ensure the dogs are muzzled and on a lead when in a public place. Selling, gifting or exchanging XL bully dogs will also be prohibited. Stage 2 of the new rules, which comes into force from July 31st, will make it an offence to own an XL bully without an exemption certificate or having applied for an exemption certificate. This means existing XL bully dog owners will need to consider whether they wish to keep their dogs and if so, will have to apply and pay for an exemption permit by that date. Full details as to what date applications for an exemption certificate will open, how to apply, and the support available will be announced in the coming weeks. The new regulations, which are subject to approval by a Parliament, are being introduced as a consequence of similar controls on the breed that have been introduced by the UK government in England and Wales, which have resulted in reports of dogs being moved to Scotland. Siobhan Brown, Minister for Victims and Community Safety, said, "It is vital XL Bully dog owners get ready for the first stage of legal safeguards that will come into force on February 23rd. These new rules are intended to prevent risks to public safety and animal welfare and keep our communities safe. The second stage of legal safeguards will provide owners seeking an exemption an appropriate length of time to decide how to prepare for the forthcoming change in the law ahead of the 31st July deadline. The vast majority of dog owners are responsible animal lovers, and we know owning a dog brings with it important responsibilities. I would encourage owners to make themselves aware of the new laws and get ready for them. Penalties available to a court on conviction for breaching safeguards are up to 6 months imprisonment and or a fine up to £5,000.
Water charges set to increase by £35. Charges for water and wastewater services will increase by £35.95 per year in Scotland in 2024-25. The increase, 8.8% above current charges, will take effect from April the 1st. Scottish Water serves over 2.6 million households, supplying more than 1.5 billion litres of water and removing and treating more than a billion litres of used and surface water daily. Household customer charges generate around £1.5 billion annually, supporting round-the-clock service that brings water to customers' taps and cleans wastewater. Further significant increased investment is needed by Scottish Water in the coming years to deal with rapidly increasing climate change impacts, population shift and ageing infrastructure. Chief Executive Alec Plant said, "Our core services play a vital role in the daily lives of millions of people in Scotland. As a publicly owned body, we have a clear responsibility to ensure what people pay is affordable and set at a fair level for both current and future generations." The Board's decision on charges for 24-25 recognises the need for a significant investment to protect services now and for the future, as climate change means that more volatile weather conditions are becoming the norm rather than the exception. Whilst increases in bills are never welcome, and we acknowledge that cost of living pressures remain, this 70 pence a week on average increase will set us on a pathway to recover ground lost over the past 2 years, when charges were set at a level lower than allowed for under the regulatory settlement.
District News, Churches. Springfield Cambridge Church. Morning worship on Sunday, February the 11th, will be conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our Assistant Minister, Mrs. Julie Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. The Sunday School meets in Room 2, where creche facilities are also available. Morning worship has also been live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, February the 7th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, February the 7th from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m, followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. The latest edition of the Springfield Cambridge Record is now available online. The annual fundraising quiz and fish supper night will take place on Saturday, March the 2nd, and tickets will be available in the Hall of Fellowship on Sundays, February the 11th, 18th and 25th, before and after the service. Kirkintilloch Church of God, at Regent Hall, Regent, on Wednesday. Our coffee corner is open from noon to 2 p.m. for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and neighbours for a chat over a coffee. On Sunday, there will be a Zoom service at 6:30 p.m. The speaker this week will be Sam Jones. A warm invitation to everyone who is able to join us on Zoom. Access details for the stream can be obtained by emailing hello@regenthall.com. For up-to-date and further information on our services, visit our website on www.regenthall.org. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." John chapter 14, verse 27. Lindsay Old Parish Church. Sunday worship begins in the church at 11 a.m. A creche is available for children under 3. The Quilt and Craft Group meet every Wednesday 10 a.m. to noon in the session room. Time Out, the social evening for ladies of all ages, is on Mondays at 7:45 p.m. in the church hall. Scottish Country Dancing is on every Thursday 7:15 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Come along for fun, fitness and friendship. You will be made very welcome. St James Church, Hilton Road, Bishop Briggs, Rector Reverend Canon Paul Watson, 0141 230 4080. There is a communion service in the chapel on Thursday, February the 8th at 11 a.m. and on Sunday, February the 11th at 9 a.m. The 10:30 a.m. communion service with hymns on Sunday is in the church. Everyone is welcome to come along to any of these services. Do stay for coffee and tea and fellowship afterwards. On Tuesday, February the 13th at 1 p.m. there is a Tuesday lunch followed by Short and Sweet live music act with songs from 50s, 60s and 70s, with comedy and Scottish and Irish songs. Do feel free to come and join us. Donation £3 at the door. Date for your diary. Wednesday, February the 14th is Ash Wednesday. There will be a service with imposition of ashes at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. There are also other virtual services and groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to our social media, Facebook, St James the Less Bishop Briggs, website www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. Colston Well Park Church. Brighten up your week with a visit to Colston Well Park Church this Sunday, where a warm welcome is guaranteed at our morning service starting at 11 a.m. and led by Reverend Malcolm Cuthbertson. After the service, you're invited to join us for tea, coffee and conversation in the hall after the service. The Art Club continues this Monday at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And as always, new members are invited to join us and, if interested, give Ramsay a call on 07709 584 680 for more information. This Wednesday, the Colston Tea Break, our community drop-in, continues from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Feel free to pop in for good food, good chat and of course good company. The Foodbank continues its essential work within the community and is open every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And to all who assist and continually donate foodstuffs, we give you our sincere thanks. Milton of Campsie Parish Church. Thanks to our friends in Campsie, St Mackin's and St Paul's, the week of prayer for Christian unity was well celebrated. Surely we are one in the Spirit, one in the Lord. Last week's offering for the food bank raised £140 in cash and 114.8 kilograms of good, the equivalent weight of an emperor penguin. Thank you. We meet for worship on Sunday, February the 11th at 11 a.m. All the children's and youth groups meet as normal. As Lent approaches, we'll focus on the cross. Please send us a photo of yourself with something crossy. A crossroads, a cross stitch, a hot cross bun, a pedestrian crossing, a cross necklace. February's charity of the month is InterServe, baby and toddler group, hobbies club and badminton meet on Monday. Cafe Connect is on Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m. On Wednesday at 7 p.m, we meet for a time to pray in the Eric Liddell. Come when you can, leave when you must. Also on Wednesday, the Guild meets at 7:30 p.m. when Sid Sharp will share some local history. On Friday, the BB Anchor and Junior Sections meet at 6:15 p.m. Advance notice. Go MED Extra Diorama on Sunday, February the 25th from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. More information to follow. Kenmure Parish Church. Messy breakfast starts at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning, a time of videos, games and of course breakfast for children. Please note that an adult must remain with the child. John Anderson and Fiona Young will lead our worship at 11 a.m. You're welcome to join us both in church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as it is streamed or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmure Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees and a time of fellowship follows the end of the church service. The most up-to-date details of all of our groups that are currently running may be found on our website, kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. Home Church, Scotland, Lammermoor Road, Kirkintilloch, G66 2AB. Home Church, Kirkintilloch. Home Church, East End, Carmyle, G32 8DP. And online, a church for all ages. Trust in the Lord, have faith, do not despair. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Sunday, February the 11th, 9:30 a.m. Prayer meeting followed by refreshments, 11 a.m. Worship service followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you. Home Church Carmyle, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Tuesdays, Engine Room, 9:30 a.m. Home Groups, Tuesday Bible Study on Zoom. Wednesdays, now called Boiler Room in Church at 7:15 p.m. Youth Group, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Home Radio is available every day. Encounter Conference, Friday, February the 23rd to 24th. See Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website for the latest information from Carmyle and Kirkintilloch. Lindsay Union Parish Church. Sunday service at 11 a.m. will be led by Reverend Dan Carmichael. Young people are also welcome to Lighthouse and Bible class. A live stream of the service is available on YouTube via our website. The meeting place opens for tea and coffee and home baking every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to noon in the New Hall. Everyone, from the very young to the young at heart, is welcome to attend. We also have a good selection of greetings cards and second-hand books for sale. There will not be a youth cafe on Thursday, February the 15th. The coffee pot is open on Fridays 10 a.m. until noon in the New Hall for teas, coffee and chat. Cadder Parish Church, beside the canal. For full details, please see our website www.cadderchurch.org. We look forward to welcoming you this coming Sunday to our morning service. The service will be led by Reverend John McGregor and Chris Gordon, probationer minister. Our music is led by Javi Jose Osendo Malo, MMUS. All are welcome. Tea and coffee served after both services. Food bank. If you wish to donate to the local food bank, you can bring your donations of food to the church or the coffee shop. Early fellowship meets in person in the South Hall Chapel at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday and also on Zoom. Cadder Coffee Shop, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Friday, 10 till noon. A warm welcome awaits you. Cadder Messy Play, Tuesday and Thursday, South Hall, 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. BB Quiz Night, Friday the 9th of February, maximum of 6 people, donation at the door. Halftime Buffet, 92nd Glasgow Girls Brigade Indoor Curling Competition will take place on the afternoon of Sunday, February the 11th at the South Hall with many teams from the congregation competing. The next meeting of the Guild is on Thursday, February the 15th in the South Halls at 7 p.m. Our speaker is Ruth Box from Chocolate Heaven, the last book of this book of projects. Our fundraiser for our projects is Taylor Fashions and it is on Thursday, February 29th. Tickets now on sale. We are the host for the Bishop Briggs World Day of Prayer Meeting, which is in our South Halls on Friday, March the 1st at 10:30 a.m. Climate Change Conference, Saturday, March the 9th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Cathedral Church, South Halls, 92nd Glasgow Company, the Girls Brigade. Tuesday, Explorers, P1 to P3, 6:15 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Juniors, P4 to P7, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Brigaders, S1 to S6, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. 212th Boys Brigade, Anchor Boys, P1 to 3, Monday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Junior Section, P4 to 6, Monday, 7:15 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Company / Senior Section, P7 to S6, Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Torrance Parish Church. The morning service in person is at 10:30 a.m. conducted by Reverend Stuart Irwin. During the service, the youngsters meet together in creche, junior church and FROG. To join the service online, go to www.torrenceparishchurch.online.church. The cafe is open every Wednesday 9 a.m. to noon for teas, coffees and delicious home baking. Why not come and taste for yourself? The Girls Brigade meet on Wednesday 6:15 to 8:15 p.m. P1 to S6. And the Boys Brigade meet on Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. P7 to S6. To find out about regular weekly activities, check the website for what's on at www.tpc.org.uk. District News General, Wednesday the 7th of February 2024. Horticultural Society. At our last meeting in January, Andy Lothian gave us a demonstration and practical tips for the repotting and aftercare of a range of houseplants, including orchids. He also added guidance for starting of begonia and potato tubers. Members joined in with their own experiences of success with different methods of propagation. Our next meeting will be on Thursday, February the 22nd, when we look forward to our annual dinner at the Broadcroft Hotel. Anyone wishing to join or find out more about the society, call Paul Malcolm on 0141 578 1520 or visit our website www.kirkintilloghorty.org.uk. Dusty is a real sweetheart. Dusty is a loving greyhound looking for her forever home and is currently cared for by the Scottish SPCA Edinburgh and Lothian's Animal Rescue and Bee Homing Centre. Dusty likes to bound around playing with people, especially for treats. She could possibly live with another dog pending a successful introduction, but cannot live with cats. She will need her own fully enclosed private garden to work on her training and work off some of that excitement. She is a very sweet nature and could live with older children who have experience with larger breeds. If you can give Dusty a new home, please visit our website www.scottishspca.org/rehome-a-pet/14276-dusty. Vet your clothes for PDSA. In an effort to raise awareness of shopping pre-loved, PDSA are calling on the local community to vet your clothes by having a purposeful clear out, donating items they no longer need to its charity outlets. The Vet Your Clothes campaign is backed by PDSA supporters and animal lovers, Fern Cotton and Sarah Jane Dunn, who have taken on the challenge and vetted their own clothes, both donating an item from their very own wardrobes. They're hoping this will encourage many to join in, making some closet space before adding any more fresh finds. Visit www.ebay.co.uk/SDR/PDSA charity shop. Don't miss out. PDSA's website, www.pdsa.org.uk/vet-your-clothes. Antiquaries Meeting. The Antiquaries were pleased to welcome Dr. Nina Baker to her meeting on February the 1st. Nina has previously spoken twice to the Society, both times remotely by Zoom during the pandemic, so we were delighted to welcome her in person to give a talk on Human Spiders Spin and Spin, Rope Makers and Rope Making in Scotland. Now retired after a varied career, Nina is an independent researcher, mainly specialising in the history of women in engineering. She started her talk by reminding us how ubiquitous rope making was. At one time, there were over 200 rope making works in Scotland, especially near the sea. Berwick, not a large town, had 11 rope works at one point. A medium-sized ship required almost 19 miles of rope to operate all the sails, anchors, etc., so there was a constant demand for large quantities of rope. The Gourock Rope Works expanded to take over most of the other rope works in Scotland, and had branches worldwide up to World War II. With the rise of mechanisation, the workforce became dominantly women. The work was hard, poorly paid and in bad conditions. Rope making was known as one of the sweaty trades, and this led to a series of strikes in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, most of which were successful in improving pay and conditions. However, the work was fundamentally unhealthy due to the workers constantly breathing in fibres, and many died young. The resulting illness, bisonosis, was not recognised as an industrial disease until the 1960s. Rope making today mainly uses artificial fibres or wire rather than flax or hemp, but Chatham Dockyard Ropery in Kent still produces traditional ropes for use in films and TV, where historically accurate detail is required. Nina's talk was greatly appreciated by the audience and led to some interesting questions and discussions, during which it emerged that there had been a wire rope making works in Bishopbriggs. Heart of the Matter: Reflections on the COVID Pandemic by Dr. Frank Dunn. My brother recently announced on the family WhatsApp undeleted group that her grandmother would have been 148th on her birthday. She departed this world at the age of almost 99. She had a very abnormal chest x-ray as a consequence of tuberculosis. Her trachea was pulled far over from the midline. Despite this, she lived a full life and outlived my always fit mother by 18 months. A small toddy at bedtime polished off at 3 a.m. may have contributed to her longevity. Tuberculosis was a devastating killer during the first half of the 20th century and filled many wards in Glasgow hospitals. In those days, infection was a major cause of death, and hence the number of infectious diseases hospitals. This was how the health service dealt with the rapid spread of these infections. The concept of separating infections from other diseases is one which would have been of great value during COVID. Unfortunately, the reduction in acute hospitals in Glasgow from 5 to 2 meant that such separation was not feasible. This led to paralysis of optimum care of other illnesses, with a resultant increase in morbidity and mortality. The one positive in all of this was the Golden Jubilee National Hospital, which was able to greatly limit admissions from COVID, thus allowing them to continue to manage cardiac and other important illnesses. The Beatson, by virtue of its standalone status, was also able to continue as far as possible with the care of patients with cancer. COVID was by far and away the most important event in my 53 years as a doctor. This pandemic caused major disruption for society. It is easy in retrospect to criticise the decisions made, but they were made in good faith with guidance from the experts. The UK and Scottish inquiries will consider all of these issues, and it will sometimes before we hear the outcome. The most disappointing aspect of the inquiry thus far relates to something I have for years felt is very damaging to our NHS. The NHS is a political football and is a vote catcher. It is a source of constant disagreement between the political parties. Sadly, it would appear that differences in approach were promoted for political reasons, and a blame culture was very much the order of the day. COVID has reinforced my view about the need to depoliticise health. I suspect this remains a forlorn hope. Reflections on the COVID Pandemic by Dr. Frank Dunn.
Planning Notices. Eastern Bartonshire Council Public Notices. Members' Surgeries. Councillors' Arrangements for Interviewing Residents. Ward 7, Kirkintilloch East and North and Tweker. Councillor Susan Murray. 10th of February 2024, Hillhead Community Centre, 9:30 a.m. until 11 a.m. 10th of February 2024, Tweker Healthy Living and Enterprise Centre, 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. Between surgeries, councillors can be contacted at the Members Support Unit on 0300 123 4510. Planning applications. Format: application number followed by address slash location, followed by proposal, followed by type of advert, followed by period of reps. TP/ED/23/0751. Finglen House, that's F-I-N-G-L-E-N, House. Hawhead, H-A-U-G-H-H-E-A-D, Strathblane Road, Campsie Glen, Lennoxtown, Eastern Bartonshire, G66-7AZ. Installation of a ground-based 15 kilowatt array of PV solar panels. Section 65, affecting CA, 21 days. If you are unable to view the plans on the Council's website, then please contact the Planning Duty Officer to arrange a suitable time to view the plans in our offices. Written comments may be made within the above period to the Council through the Council's website or to the above address. Any representations will be treated as public documents and made available for inspection by interested parties and may also be published on the Council's website. Morrison's Bishopriggs construction update. Scottish Power is to carry out cabling works on sections of road described below as part of the works associated with the construction of the new Morrison's store, Bishopriggs. In order for the works to be carried out in a safe manner, Eastern Bartonshire Council will require to close the following sections of road from 8 a.m. on Monday the 11th of March 2024 until 6 p.m. on Sunday the 21st of April 2024. 1. Springfield Road between its junction with Arnold Avenue and the 8803 Kirkintilloch Road, Bishopriggs. Alternative diversion routes for the closure of Springfield Road will be way of Arnold Avenue, Emerson Road West, Lee Crescent, Crow Hill Road, the B812 Auchinairn Road, Colston Road, and the A803 Kirkintilloch Road, Bishopriggs, and these routes will be signposted. Caliburn Road and Beach Road will also be signposted. 2. Kenmure Avenue, between its junctions with the A803 Kirkintilloch Road and Kenmure Lane, Bishopriggs. Alternative diversion routes for the closure of Kenmure Avenue will be way of the A803 Kirkintilloch Road, Brackenbrae Road and Kenmure Avenue, Bishopriggs, and these routes will be signposted. Access to the closed sections of roads will only be maintained for vehicles engaged in the works and vehicles requiring access to properties adjacent to the closed section of road when it is safe and practical to do so during the works. There will be no access through the closed sections of road for emergency service vehicles. As part of the works, the existing traffic signals will require to be switched off and temporary three-way traffic signals incorporating pedestrian crossings facilities will be used on the A803 Kirkintilloch Road at its junction with Springfield Road and Kenmure Avenue, Bishopriggs, from 9:30 on Monday the 11th of March 2024 until 6 p.m. on Sunday the 21st of April 2024. The temporary traffic signals will be manually controlled between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. each day. The use of temporary traffic signals may result in delays to traffic in the area. Furthermore, temporary three-way traffic signals will be used to control traffic movements on Kenmure Avenue at its junction with Kenmure Drive, Bishopriggs, from 9:30 on Monday, the 11th of March, 2024, until 6 p.m. on Sunday, the 21st of April, 2024. The temporary traffic signals will be manually controlled at peak times. The use of temporary traffic signals may result in delays to traffic in the area. Affected residents and businesses will be lettered in advance of the works by the contractor. Xander scores on his debut. An article written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Xander Murray struck a debut goal as Kirkintilloch Rob Roy moved into the quarter-finals of the South Region Challenge Cup with a 4-1 win at home to nine-man Pollock. Murray began the season with Bonny Ridge Rose before rejoining his old club Gala Ferry Dean Rovers in the Lowland League. The 32-year-old recently announced he is to retire at the end of the season and will now see it out at Rob Roy after joining last week. He is joined by fellow striker Jake Ruxton and Dominic Kavanagh on loan from St Carrick's and Airdrie respectively. Murray grabbed the opener at Guy's Meadow after 14 minutes as he got the end of a free kick. Pollock hit the post before ex-Rob Roy man Ryan McGregor equalised from a corner after 26 minutes. However, the home side restored their lead just a minute later as Chris O'Kane forcing the ball past Pollock goalkeeper Ben Frey. Kavanagh replaced Murray after 54 minutes and 4 minutes later an own goal doubled Rob Roy's advantage. 10 minutes after coming on, Kavanagh found the net with a penalty as Sean Burns was shown a red card for Pollock. The visitors then finished the game with 9 men as Jamie Henry was sent off 10 minutes before time. Ashfield's trip to Kenaway Star Hearts in the same competition was called off, and they will try again this Saturday. Petershill went back to the top of the WOS First Division with a 1-0 win over Blantyre Victoria and are away to Drumchapel United on Friday. Caledonian Locomotives drew 2-2 away to Bonnyton Thistle in the Second Division as Glasgow Perthshire won 2-1 away to Yoker Athletic. Cali host Forth Wanderers and Shire head to Vale of Clyde on Saturday. While in the third division, it is a trip to Greenock Juniors for West Park United. Rossville lost 1-0 home to leaders Glenvale in the fourth division and host St Peter's this Saturday. That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey.
US contingent grows at City as Giamona signs. Report by Brian Yule. Glasgow City has added to its American contingent with the deadline day arrival of midfielder Carly Giamona. The 23-year-old has signed from Liga MX Femenil side CF Monterrey to join countrywomen Brenna Lovera, Ailey Gambon and Corey Sullivan. Giamona helped the Mexican side reach the semi-finals of the Apertura, narrowly losing out 1-0 to eventually champions UANL Tigres. She has also been involved with the under-16 and under-18 US national teams and had a very impressive college career with NCAA Division 1 side Pepperdine Waves. Giamona told Glasgow City TV, "I'm super excited to continue the current season with the team and really happy to be part of the club. After doing my research, I found Glasgow City was an amazing club, so it makes a great next step for me. The game is growing so much. There are so many younger girls trying to get into the game and learning to play, so it will be amazing to be part of their journey. I knew Ailey before coming here, but this is nice having the other American girls here as well, and they've been showing me around. They've already taken me around town into some coffee shops, so I'm excited for more. I'm excited to be part of a team that wants to win. Playing in the Champions League is a dream for everyone, so to be in contention for that is super motivating. Once I've adapted and play my style, I can try to bring something new to the team it doesn't have yet, and add whatever I can. Seeing how many quality players are in the midfield is only going to help me get better, and we'll be pushing each other every day. City were knocked out of the Scottish Cup on Sunday, as they lost 5-4 in penalties at home to Hibernian following a 1-1 draw. Lauren Davidson gave the host the lead after 7 minutes, but Leah Eddy headed the equaliser in 34 minutes. The game went to extra time and was then decided from the spot as Mairead Fulton and Joanne Love both missed for City, allowing Joelle Murray to win it for Hibs. It is back to league action this week as City welcome Hamilton Accies tonight, Wednesday, and then travel to Montrose on Sunday. Kyle encourages kids to follow American Dream. Report by Brian Yule. Kyle McLeod is living the Hollywood dream after moving more than 5,000 miles from his native Scotland to make a career in football. Now, the 26-year-old is encouraging other young people to consider the opportunities open to them across the wider footballing world. As a child, McLeod dreamed of becoming a professional footballer and was signed by Montrose, but with first team opportunities limited, he decided a change was needed. Linking up with First Point USA, he won a soccer scholarship at the University of West Alabama and would complete a master's degree in physical education last year. Now McLeod is living the American dream as an MLS Knicks soccer coach and recruitment coordinator at Los Angeles Bulls. He said, "When I received a first team contract offer from Montrose, it was a realisation of a lifelong ambition, a profound milestone in my career. I absorbed invaluable lessons from seasoned players like Paul Watson and Terry Mason, and, after a successful loan period, I trained rigorously to make a meaningful impact. Despite my competitive spirit, the path to consistent game time was challenging, and, disheartened, I made a pivotal decision to break free. An opportunity emerged with First Point USA, and I embraced signing with Irish coach Matthew Thorne and the University of West Alabama. This marked the commencement of a new chapter in my life, characterised by a pursuit of both athletic and academic excellence in the vibrant landscape of Alabama. My time in Alabama marked a fulfilling period in my collegiate soccer journey, and, upon the culmination of my eligibility as a player, a new opportunity presented itself as one of the assistant coaches while concurrently completing my master's degree. This experience proved to be profoundly rewarding, and when it was time to bid farewell to Alabama, I had carried with me not only the tangible degrees, but also a rich tapestry of experiences, leadership and camaraderie." McLeod would go on to play and later coach at Midland Odessa Soccers, East Atlanta and South Carolina United Bantams, which ultimately led him to LA. He said, "Joining the Los Angeles Bulls within the esteemed MLS Next program was a pivotal step in my professional journey, and during my tenure, I've had the fortune of experiencing success with both of our MLS Next teams. Now, the journey continues, marked by a commitment to nurturing the potential of young soccer talent and achieving further milestones in the realm of youth soccer development. A soccer scholarship has opened the doors to high-level soccer programs, competitive environments, and opportunities for personal and professional development. I always thought it was go pro or nothing. I did not know these opportunities were out there, but there is an abundance all over the world, and I hope sharing my experiences will encourage kids who want to create a better life for themselves to give it a go, even if it means stepping out of the comfort of the UK for a while." Report by Brian Yule.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kicking Hill Carol podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Tune Review and to tell your friends about our service.